Hello and welcome to Walk the Pod, your daily walking show where I take my podcast for a walk because I don't have a dog. Welcome along to episode 9, series 45. You find me walking my local streets, just going around and around. It was the most beautiful day in the world. It's clouded over a little bit now, but my goodness, it makes a difference when the sun is shining. I cannot tell you. We're talking about uncertainty this series, and today I want to talk to you about sitting with uncertainty. Welcome to Walk the Pod. So we're getting towards the end of series 45 now, and we've talked a bit about uncertainty. What is it? What does it feel like? What might it be actually an opportunity, or could we change the way we think about it so that we do see it as an opportunity? And my final thought for this series is a rather simpler idea, and that is how to learn to sit with uncertainty, because I feel like however positive we are, sometimes the positivity is being used to escape from uncertainty just as much as trying to not think about it, distract ourselves, or somehow get away from uncertainty. Maybe every response to uncertainty, which is trying to take some action either positively or away from the uncertainty, is to be avoided. Because maybe what we need to do is build our muscle memory, and I apologise for using a rather stupid piece of terminology there, but to build our muscle memory for just existing with the uncertainty still going around us and sort of being a feeling that we don't like. My favourite writer in the whole world, Heather Havrileski, has been writing recently about her interactions with her therapist, who tells her that she intellectualises when she's in an uncertain place. She likes to use her very smart and sharp brain to name the feelings she's feeling, to name the responses of other people, to sort of emotionally outmaneuver the uncertainty. And I think the therapist is indicating that she should try to stop doing this if possible, because whilst she can, doesn't mean it's necessarily the best way to deal with uncertainty, because every time it comes around, it's going to be equally difficult, and if we get too good at outmaneuvering it, then we don't get to experience simply feeling and being alive. And I'll be honest, I'm finding that quite a difficult thing to come to terms with, because I'm probably somebody who intellectualises my way out of uncertainty as well. Over the last week, I've been talking to you about how I'm entering into an uncertain time at work. And at work, I have been aggressively attacking the uncertainty with plans which allow me to have some control over it. Now, I thought this was quite sensible at the beginning of the week, and I was quite adrenalised by it, and I was quite positive about the whole thing. I will flip it into an opportunity, I thought to myself. Brilliant. And there's probably nothing wrong with that as an approach. However, it is occurring to me now, later in the week, that attacking uncertainty with plans is, in fact, an element of trying to exert some control over something which probably can't be controlled. And I don't even know whether that's correct or not, but it's a thought. I think I'm trying to control something uncontrollable. I think that's what's going on. And I think I should probably stop. So you find me at the other end of the week thinking, maybe I'll stop aggressively building plans in order to outwit the uncertainty. Maybe I will practice simply being in it and feeling the feelings. Horrible, isn't it? What an awful thought. I shall feel my feelings. Ugh, yuck. But that's where I've got to, and it's quite an interesting thing to think about. I'm very grateful to you, as ever, for giving me the space to think about this stuff, because I'm not sure I would have noticed all of that was going on if it wasn't for having 10 minutes at lunchtime to think about uncertainty every day. And I didn't know I was going to realise that my own approach to uncertainty was perhaps one that could be rethought and reapproached. But thinking about uncertainty with you has made me think a bit more deeply about it and embrace it a bit more. And I'm going to attempt to embrace it a bit more. So how do we sit with uncertainty then? If we've identified that we're intellectualising our way out of it, or we are being avoidant of it, or we are distracting ourselves, or whatever have you. And also, I would argue that uncertainty comes in lots of different forms. So it's not just uncertainty when your job is under threat. It can be uncertainty simply about our own ability to achieve something. I want to do this thing. I don't know if I can. That is a type of uncertainty too. So if we decide, all right, I've identified that I am feeling uncertain and I'm going to sit with it, how do we do that? One way could be by journaling, writing about the feelings, how they feel every day, whether there is a pattern. So the uncertainty I'm feeling now may be unfolding in quite a similar way to the uncertainty that I was feeling a few years ago when I started Walk the Pod. An enormous exercise in intellectualising myself out of uncertainty, I suspect. Thank you for coming with me for this journey. I suspect that uncertainty unfolds itself in a similar way emotionally, so we have a period of time when we might be reassuring ourselves that it's all going to be fine, and we might have a period of time when we're in denial, and we might have a period of time when we're trying to aggressively attack the uncertainty with plans. This may unfold in a very similar way for each one of us each time there is uncertainty in our life. So it's worth probably sort of trying to work all of that out, because it might be reassuring to do so, or alternatively, actually, that might be trying to make a roadmap of uncertainty, which is again trying to aggressively attack it and plan it and control it. So maybe how to be in uncertainty isn't about journaling or writing notes. Maybe how to be in uncertainty is simply to be in it, not try to do anything, but actually feel the feelings. Notice how strong they are, notice how powerful they are, notice how much we don't like them. But Heather's point in her latest newsletter was that actually we exist in a very heightened state of awareness if we can slow down and notice what feelings we're feeling. So that's an interesting idea. Not to do anything with it, just to feel and to notice and that's it. So difficult though I'm finding this not to convert into positive outcomes, because I am a sort of outcome based person trying to resist the urge to try to make it into outcomes all the time. Simply sitting with the feelings for the sake of it. That is the point, dear friends. I'd love to know what you think about that. I feel like it's a sort of conclusion to the series, which itself makes me feel like, hurrah, I have achieved something from thinking about uncertainty, which isn't the point. But look, if that gives you any pause for thought, or if you have anything to say about that, or if you think I am absolutely wrong, all of these responses are valid. Do get in touch. You can do so in a few different ways. Walkthepod.com will take you to all of them. Walkthepod.com will take you to my email address, walkthepod@gmail.com. Walkthepod.com will give you access to leave a voice note for Walk the Pod via SpeakPipe, which I can just about squeeze in the last episode of the series tomorrow. The last episode of the series is always dedicated to thanking the members of the Walk the Pod Lunchtime Walk Club, and if you'd like to be one of those, you can join up today via walkthepod.com as well. So we won't be doing any more on uncertainty tomorrow, but if I get any voice notes overnight, I shall put them in, and the conversation can continue about what exactly this means. And I found that this is something that I've thought about at around this time of year before, so it might be that March is just a time of heightened uncertainty or heightened awareness about it. I'm not sure exactly. What can I see directly in front of me? Well, I've seen quite a few birds with twigs in their mouths today. So the birds are very busy building nests. I walked to school with child three again today, and we captured 8 birds in the Merlin app today. So I was absolutely delighted about that. They were broadly the same as yesterday, so we had a great tit, a blue tit, a sparrow, a robin, a coot, a wren, and a crow. But in addition, we had also a moorhen, which was exciting. So 8 birds captured via Merlin app, and I was absolutely delighted about that. That was very, very cool to walk and capture birds at the same time. Not literally capture, of course. Don't have them all in a cage or anything, but capture them via the Merlin app. Somebody cleaning their taxi across the way with a bucket and a squeegee mop on a stick. Lots of blossom everywhere, beautiful cherry blossom. And I left a voice note for my dear friends, Gaynor and Tatty and Sam, this morning to wish them happy Please Take Day, because it is the first beautiful day of the year. First day when we can be reasonably sure that it will be dry, and consequently people who have been saving up all of their things they don't need anymore all winter have put them outside their house today with a sign saying please take, free to a good home, etc. And I just wish I had a van really on days like that to go and scoop it all up. What does that say about me? Well, that says I'm very strongly a prospector. If you're a Myers-Briggs fan, love a please take box, can't resist a please take box at all. So that's what that says about me. And am I trying to sit with that? No, I'm not. I'm scooping up all the things and taking them home in my backpack. Sometimes you have to not submit to any shame about these things, dear friends, and just think, well, it's just how my brain works, and not a lot I can do about it. Thank you so much for listening. It's been an absolute delight to stretch my legs with you this morning. I'm recording slightly early today. I'm having a study day, doing some schoolwork. It's been a delight to stretch my legs with you this morning. I'm walking past a huge bush of lavender, which is absolutely beautiful. The fragrance from it is stunning. Just spotted a cat as well, but I'm not going to stop and get distracted by it today. I'd like to invite you to take care of your beautiful mind. If you have medication to take, please take your medication today. Gaynor, I'm looking at you. You're going to nebulise today. You said you would. And I will do so as well. And do try to find a glimmer of joy in this imperfect Thursday. It won't be everything that you wished it was, but if you keep your eyes open, it might be more than you ever imagined. It's entirely possible. Lots of love, dear friends. So I can't wait to come back with the final episode of the series tomorrow. I've also got to work out when series 46 will start, because it's not going to be super soon, because there is Easter holidays and things here in the UK. So I need to find out when the series will start, and I need to give you a date for that. So bear with, and I'll work something out. Lots of love. I'll speak to you tomorrow.